The Charming Ex-Wife, Lysander and Josiah. Chapter 21. Approximately 4 weeks of intrauterine pregnancy, embryo alive. The notion of a child had crossed Josiah's mind throughout his life. In his mind, a child was either a soft and cuddly baby being held in one's arms or a mischievous little one running around causing chaos. He never imagined that his child would one day be reduced to a small mass of flesh and wrapped haphazardly in cheap tissue paper. The child was then ultimately discarded into the garbage heap, mingling with all the foul and filthy things. With Daphne's support, Lysander slowly walked away. As Daphne glanced back at Josiah, Lysander patted her hand, signaling her not to look back. Over 3 years. Josiah had known Lysander for but he had never seen her so calm and decisive. She was obedient and hard-working. She resembled the top female student who always ranked first in the class, obedient and well-behaved in front of teachers, but with an underlying spirit of determination. Unfortunately, he had only seen her surface of obedience and gentleness. He never realized that she could be so resolute when she made a decision. He understood what Lysander had just told him. She had indeed considered everything thoroughly for the sake of the child's physical and mental health, for their future lives, and even for the inheritance of property several years down the line. This indicated that she had been considering whether to keep this child for some time, weighing the pros and cons. What is it that finally makes her make up her mind? Is it Lysander insisting on going to the hotel with them? Or is this morning when I went to confront her about divorce? Josiah tried to figure out everything. Lysander didn't even intend to tell him about having had a child. If today the waiter hadn't coincidentally found her wallet, and he hadn't coincidentally opened the compartment inside and seen the pregnancy test report, perhaps he would never have known that he once had a child. There was always an understanding between them, never snooping through each other's things. They always respected each other's privacy. Originally, even if Josiah had received the wallet handed over by the waiter, he wouldn't have opened it without permission. He raised his hand and looked at the light paper in his hand, which read, "Approximately 4 weeks of any pregnancy, embryo alive." His fingers lightly touched the word alive. He could feel the raised traces of the font, as if there was still warmth. He wondered if it was just his imagination. Lysander's figure had long disappeared from view, and several cigarette butts had accumulated at his feet. He didn't know why he was still staying here and waiting for her. Lysander had already said she didn't want to see him again, but he wanted to see her one more time. Josiah convinced himself to wait until Lysander and Daphne came back. He wanted to watch Lysander safely enter the hospital before he left. His phone in his pocket kept ringing. As expected, it was Lysander calling. She had called countless times. If he didn't answer, she would keep calling. Lysander had always been like this since she was young, relentless until she achieved her goal. Josiah had long been accustomed to it, but he didn't feel like answering today. Nevertheless, Lysen seemed unwilling to give up. The phone continued to ring loudly, wearing Josiah out. In the end, he answered the call. "Hello. Josiah, why aren't you answering my calls? Did Lysander forbid you from answering? Didn't you agree on a peaceful divorce and part amicably? Has she changed her mind again?" Josiah closed his eyes. He took a deep breath and said, "No." "Then why aren't you answering the phone?" "Lysander, can you let me be alone for a while?" Chapter 22. The child is gone. Lysander was taken aback by Josiah's cold demeanor toward her. She took a deep breath, trying to contain her anger. It was now her turn to mend things with Josiah, and she needed to humble herself. She envisioned a scenario where she could regain the influence she once had over Josiah. With this in mind, she felt a sense of relief. She inquired, "Your voice sounds strained. Did you find her?" "Yes," Josiah replied. "Is she using the child as a bargaining chip to threaten you, Or is she using the divorce as a means to claim a share of your assets? Josiah, rest assured. I specialize in handling divorce cases. Leave it to me. I won't let her take a penny from the Guerra family. Listen. Josiah winced. She's not that kind of person. She doesn't want anything. Not even him. Lyson's tone shifted instantly to a cheerful one, tinged with surprise. Then what's the worry? Isn't that a relief? She chuckled softly as her demeanor became more relaxed. Dr. Thorne is quite trustworthy. I just hope she won't have a change of heart later and return with the child to claim her share of the inheritance. You see, under the current law, the child could indeed stake a claim on your assets. Anyway, it's not a major issue. You can draft a will in advance and leave everything to our child. Josiah couldn't help but let out a sarcastic laugh. Lysander had already anticipated that Lyson might consider inheritance laws. Over the phone, Lyson continued, Josiah, I have an idea that I'd like to discuss with you. What is it? I've been thinking we can negotiate with her. If she agrees to conduct an abortion and never bothers you again, we can offer her a lump sum of money. She wants to buy a house, right? We can assist with the down payment, fulfill her wish, and prevent any future issues. Nevertheless, we must document this agreement formally to prevent any deceit. She's an obstetrician and gynecologist, and her connections in that field can aid her in deceiving us. She might claim to have conducted an abortion but secretly give birth and use the child against us later. Josiah affirmed, she won't do that. Don't underrate it. I've encountered a similar man before it invalued a canonman with the money and didn't go through with it. Eventually, the child returned to claim a share of the family fortune, causing turmoil. The child is gone, Josiah interrupted her. The child, Lyson paused, is gone. Yes. Have you discussed the terms with her? Why don't you involve me? I'm a professional lawyer and could have helped negotiate the best terms. She didn't discuss anything with me. By the time I arrived, the child was no more. Her. Well, that's a relief. Lyson breathed a sigh of relief feeling clayed. Now we don't have to pay anything, and she no longer has any leverage over us. By the way, Josiah, when are you returning? The hotel is serving lamb shoulder for dinner, but the wine selection isn't great. Can you bring a bottle from home? Let's celebrate properly. Celebrate what? Celebrate our reconciliation. We've resolved all past issues cleanly, with no more obstacles. That isn't an obstacle, that is my child. Chapter 23. I want to burn it. Lyson finally understood why Josiah had been acting so strangely today. She softened her voice as she said, "But you love me. Don't you? We are going to get married in the future. The existence of that child will only disturb our happy life. If you want a child, it's simple, right? We will have children in the future, too. Moreover, the child in my belly will also be yours. Don't think too much. She's only been pregnant for a month. That's not really a child yet. It's just a fertilized egg, a cell, or even just a pool of blood. Stop talking." Josiah's mind was filled with the image of the tissue paper soaked in blood. The deep crimson color pierced his heart. "When will you be back?" "I'll wait for you to have dinner together," Lyson asked. "I want to be alone for a while." "You go ahead and eat, don't wait for me." From the obstetrics and gynecology department to the medical waste disposal center, it was about 600 feet away. After being a doctor for so many years, Lysander's speed had been honed. In the past, she could run back and forth in 2 minutes. However, it took her more than 20 minutes to walk there today, with Daphne supporting her all the way. The pain in her lower abdomen was intermittent, making her break out in a cold sweat when it flared up. She had to stop and take deep breaths. Daphne felt uncomfortable watching. She turned her face away and secretly wiped away tears. "Harper," Lysander called out. Daphne immediately wiped away her tears and turned back as if nothing had happened. "What's up? Do you have a lighter?"
"I don't smoke.
Why will I carry a lighter with me?
Why do you need a lighter?"
"I want to burn it."
Lysander looked at the tissue in her hand. "Most medical waste is crushed and buried. I don't want it to be buried with all those smelly things."
Daphne nodded heavily.
"I'll go borrow one."
"Who are you going to borrow from?"
"I'll just ask around.
You rest here for a while."
"I want to, sir."
"Have one."
Daphne suddenly thought of Josiah. Josiah should have one.
"I just saw him smoking."
Lysander remained silent.
"Forget it. Just pretend I didn't say anything."
In the end, Daphne bought a lighter from the hospital's convenience store. The two found a secluded spot and burned the tissue, along with the small clump of flesh inside, into ashes. A gust of wind scattered the ashes into the air, which eventually dissipated into nothingness. Daphne sniffed as she stared blankly at the ashes being blown away, leaving only a small black mark on the cement floor where the tissue had burned. She turned to look at Lysander. Lysander had no special expression. She looked blank. The hospital gown seemed to be too big, making her appear fragile, as if a gust of wind could blow her away. "Lysander, if you want to cry, just cry."
Lysander shook her head.
"Harper, let's go."
"Okay, I'll help you back to the ward to lie down."
"We're not going this way."
Lysander pointed another direction.
"We can go back that way too."
"But won't that be a longer way around?"
"Your body," Daphne stopped halfway. She understood
Lysander's meaning. Josiah was still over there, and Lysander didn't want to see him again. She would rather drag her weak body through a longer route and endure great pain just to have no more intersection with him.
Daphne couldn't help it. Tears welled up in her eyes.
Lysander smiled and reached out to wipe the tears from her face.
"I haven't even cried."
"Why are you crying?"
Daphne shook her head.
"Sand got in my eyes."
Lysander leaned her face on her shoulder and said softly,
"Harper, please don't cry."
"Okay," Daphne whispered.
"Things will get better for you in the future."
"Yes, I believe they will."
Lysander smiled gently.
"Is that so?"
"It's like his spirit has been drained.
FVE never seen him like this before."
Lysander simply replied, "He will gradually improve."
Chapter 24.
It all felt real. How much time does it truly signify? Is it an hour, a day, a month, or a year? Lysander remained uncertain about the duration it would take for Josiah to recover. After more than 2 decades of yearning, his beloved was finally reunited with him. The reunion of broken souls and the fulfillment of desires should quickly overshadow the matters concerning the child. Life's 4 greatest joys included the wedding night, the success of exams, relief after a long drought, and meeting an old friend in a distant place. Among these, Josiah had experienced 2.5 of them simultaneously. With a flourishing career and a blissful love life, this period undoubtedly constituted the happiest time in his life. Regarding that child, or rather, the fertilized egg, it was a minuscule regret in his 31 years of life. With his beloved woman by his side, he would have his own children in the future. Given the Guerra family's modest size, they might even expand it further. With children around and a loving wife by his side, his good days were still ahead of him. Daphne didn't let her stay in a hotel, she brought her directly home. Her parents had bought her a house early on. Although not too large, it was situated in the heart of Harborbrook in an upscale residential area that was both lively and peaceful. As the first rays of morning sunlight streamed through the window, she stood by the window, gazing outside. It was the peak of late spring, a time when the neighborhood trees were at their most vibrant and full of life. A boy in a school uniform stood downstairs, picking up a pebble from the ground and hurling it with force until it struck the window of the girl's room. The girl quickly ran out of the building entrance, standing before him with a cheerful smile and extending her hand toward him. The boy unzipped his school uniform and retrieved a paper bag from inside. When he opened it, there were steaming hot buns inside. He patted the back seat of his bike, and after the girl sat down, he gently pressed the pedal, and the bicycle slowly moved forward. As the girl on the back seat savored the buns and hummed a tune, the breeze lifted her skirt and hair, as if even the air was aware of her happiness. Such was the nature of the world. One could have felt the agony of impending doom, as if the sky were collapsing, suffocating under an oppressive cloud. Yet, beyond the personal turmoil, the external world retained its luminosity and cheerfulness. The sun shone as brilliantly as ever, birds sang their melodies, morning exercisers donned vibrant red dresses as they danced in the square, and elementary school students reveled in laughter during their journey to school. Heartbreak could resemble this dichotomy. One might choose to approach it logically or put on a brave face in front of friends, pretending not to be affected. However, the emotions and grievances of heartbreak were still there and never diminished. For over 3 years, spanning more than 1,000 days and nights, it all felt real. Every single day was genuinely spent with him. The songs were listened to together. The paths traversed side by side, the discussions shared, those tender words uttered in moments of passion, they occasionally sting like a needle, instantly shattering the original good mood. It's better to experience heartbreak later than earlier. Look at you now. Even though you're feeling hurt inside, you can hold it in. Back then, I was just going through puberty, I couldn't hold it in at all. If you hadn't intervened, I might have jumped off the school building. Daphne remarked. Chapter 25. Do you regret removing this child? Lysander found Daphne's words to be quite reasonable. At 26, she considered herself fully mature, capable of handling a breakup with the same level of maturity as an adult. Daphne, being only 17 at the time, was more prone to impulsive behavior. Despite facing death once, with all her bones broken, she had managed to come back to life. Lysander inquired, "How did you manage to get through that?" Daphne shrugged indifferently. "I just did. Everyone goes through heartbreak at some point. Time heals everything." Lysander nodded in understanding. Ultimately, time was the best healer. She wasn't afraid of feeling sad, she just hoped this period of sadness could be shortened, even just a bit. Suddenly, Daphne winked playfully at her. "They say the fastest way to get over a past relationship is to dive into a new one. Want me to introduce you to a few?" Lysander shook her head. "Do you think I'm in the mood for that right now?" For her, it wasn't just a simple breakup. She gently touched her lower abdomen, still feeling the pain from the surgery she had undergone the day before. Daphne's hand rested on the back of hers. "Lysander, do you regret removing this child?" Lysander licked her lips and shook her head. Daphne sighed. "After our conversation yesterday, I understood. Regarding the fate of this child, you actually made up your mind long ago." "Yeah. It's good that you've made up your mind," Daphne said. "The biggest fear people have is not making the wrong choice but not having the chance to repent." Daphne suddenly became philosophical, perhaps her recent marriage had given her some insight. Lately, her social media feed had been filled with either melancholic or inspirational quotes, accompanied by serene images. Casually scrolling through the comments, Lysander noticed a few interesting exchanges. Someone asked, "Going through a breakup?" Daphne replied, "You're the one who had a breakup. I'm not falling in love, but I'm focused on building a better future." Another person, lacking insight, added, "Going through yet another breakup. Daphne responded, "The foolish repeat their mistakes, while the wise expand their knowledge." After reading, Lysander raised an eyebrow. Are you preparing for a postgraduate entrance exam?
Daphne shrugged.
Just for the sake of a rhyme. Suddenly, Daphne's expression changed, her face contorting. Lysander thought someone had struck a nerve again and refreshed the page, but there were no new comments.
Is it a private message?
Lysander inquired.
Daphne, what's wrong?
Daphne, looking angry, gritted her teeth and waved her hand.
It's nothing, just stay here.
Deed to make a call on the balcony. Lysander suspected that she was probably going to call and vent her anger. Daphne had always been fiery, and whoever provoked her, she had to vent her frustration on the spot. As anticipated by Lysander, less than a minute later, she heard Daphne's angry voice coming from the balcony.
Do you have a problem?
Why change your profile picture now? There was a pause before Daphne continued. If you want to show off your relationship, can't you pick a better time?
You can wait until Lysander is feeling better.
What's the rush to change to a couple's profile picture?
Do you have to hurt her by doing that now?
There was silence as the conversation continued.
She changed it for you.
But can't you change it back?
Have a little empathy, Josiah.
It's only been a day since the abortion.
Do you know how she's been these past few days?
Or do you think she's heartless and doesn't feel any pain?
The child was growing in her belly.
Do you know she's feeling worse than you after the abortion?
Again, silence followed.
You don't know anything.
All right, don't explain to me.
I'll say this, either you delete Lysander now, or you change the couple's photo for me right away.
I see.
He just switched his profile picture to a couple's photo with Lysan.
Chapter 26.
Their couple profile picture. She opened WhatsApp and glanced at her screen. Indeed, it had been changed. The previous serene and elegant white cloud profile picture had been replaced with a cartoon boy puckering up for a kiss toward the right. It seemed that Lysan's profile picture should be a cartoon girl kissing toward the left. This change completely contradicted Josiah's usual style, and it was obviously a couple's profile picture. No wonder Daphne erupted on the spot. With a creak, Daphne opened the balcony door and returned to the living room. Lysander put away her phone and slipped it into her pocket. As Daphne came in, she looked around vigilantly. Lysander chuckled.
What are you looking for?
Where's your phone?
Why isn't it here?
Oh, I was standing by the window and was afraid it might fall, so I put it in my pocket.
Is something wrong?
Daphne visibly relaxed, coming over to embrace her shoulder with a smile.
It's okay, we were thinking the same thing.
I was worried your phone might fall off accidentally.
I'm on the 16th floor here.
If it falls, it'll probably break into pieces immediately.
Lysander smiled.
Yeah. Daphne said, try to use your phone less these days.
It's not good for your eyes.
Okay.
Lysander asked, who did you just call?
Just someone you don't know.
That guy can be sharp-tongued.
I gave him a good scolding, and now he's behaving.
Lysander chuckled lightly.
You are really something.
Daphne raised her chin proudly.
Of course.
Daphne didn't let her look at her phone, so Lysander could only obediently watch TV.
But during the daytime on a workday, there wasn't much to watch on TV.
She flipped through channels with the remote control but couldn't find anything she liked.
During her usual workdays, she was incredibly busy, and though tired, she felt time flew by.
Suddenly,
Daphne slapped her thigh.
Staying at home is so dull.
Let's go out and have some fun.
Where are we headed?
Let's hit up a karaoke bar and blow off some steam, Daphne suggested.
Without hesitation, Daphne took her to a karaoke bar and thoughtfully brought along a bunch of friends to join in the fun.
With Daphne around, the atmosphere was lively, and in no time, they almost brought down the ceiling of the private room. Watching Daphne screaming into the microphone, Lysander felt a bit worried for her.
Take it easy.
Daphne chuckled. Why don't you join in and sing too?
I'm not very good at singing, and I wouldn't want to embarrass you.
The people Daphne invited were all familiar friends she regularly spent time with. Although Lysander had met most of them and exchanged greetings, they hadn't truly connected.
Unfazed, Daphne handed her the microphone, urging, "What's embarrassing about it?
Just sing. Let it all out.
What do you want to sing?
I'll cue it up for you."
With that, she sat in front of the song selection machine and rolled up her sleeves to help Lysander find a song.
At this moment, a young man in a sports polo shirt and jeans walked over and asked,
"Daphne, what song are you looking for?"
Daphne gestured toward Lysander.
"Help me find a song for my bestie.
She's always busy with work and doesn't know many songs.
I need to see which one she can sing."
The man, wearing gold-rimmed glasses and looking like a professional in the workplace, politely smiled at Lysander.
"Can you sing Adele's songs?"
Lysander nodded.
"I know some old songs.
How about Someone Like You?"
"I know it, but not very well."
"Then I'll sing it with you."
"Okay."
Chapter 27. Nothing lasted forever. Daphne felt a bit bewildered, her head spinning as the man pulled her up and led her to the side to eat fruit from a platter. He then took her original seat next to Lysander, maintaining a polite distance from her, neither too close to make her uncomfortable nor too far to hinder conversation. The intro music began. Adele's face appeared on the big screen. Back then, her face was slightly round, with big eyes, giving her a very spirited look. Lysander's appearance wasn't stunningly beautiful, but she was pleasing to look at, dignified, gentle, delicate, and graceful. In Daphne's words, just seeing her made one feel that everything was peaceful and prosperous.
"It's about to start, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Lysander held the microphone, following his rhythm, and sang slowly.
"I heard that you're settled down. That you found a girl, and you're married now."
Her voice wasn't as ethereal and sharp as Adele's, but it had a soothing quality.
Someone next to Daphne nudged her arm.
"Daph, you're lying. Your friend sings so well, and you say she can't sing."
With a piece of watermelon still in her mouth, Daphne seemed a bit absent-minded.
"I really don't know. She's never been to a karaoke bar before, and I've never heard her sing."
"You must be kidding. A person in her 20s has never been to a karaoke bar?
Really?
She really hasn't been.
Why would I lie to you?
She's a great doctor, constantly occupied with school and work, unlike you, who seems to be idle every day with nothing to do."
The person was a little skeptical.
"Let me tell you, she can't possibly have never been here, maybe just not with you.
Perhaps she comes with a boyfriend or a husband, not always informing you about it."
Daphne playfully nudged him on the head.
"Stop and listen to me. Don't bring up boyfriends or
husbands."
The person instantly caught on.
"Your friend recently went through a breakup, didn't she?"
Daphne frowned impatiently.
"Just stop."
All right, I won't say anything," the person suddenly pointed to the man with gold-rimmed glasses next to Lysander.
"Daph, take a look at Adrian."
Doko followed his where and eas there Adrian Cutten had tan sinina at Pama.
Ng haun period.
Adrian's expression doesn't seem right.
Could he have a crush on your friend?
Daphne rolled her eyes.
This seems possible.
Adrian also happens to be a doctor. They share a professional alignment.
They must have common ground.
Being cautious, Daphne asked again, "Does Adrian currently have a girlfriend?"
The person shrugged.
"A solo player since birth."
Daphne's eyes suddenly took on a meaningful look.
She touched her chin and remarked, "Then I should do some investigation.
Never mind, I'll find someone like you."
I wish nothing but the best for you, too.
Don't forget me, I begged.
I remember you said.
Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead.
Nothing compares.
No worries or cares.
Regrets and mistakes, their memories made.
Who would have known how bittersweet this would taste?
As the song finished, Lysander found tears filling her eyes without realizing when they had started. She pondered that nothing endured forever except memories. Despite the song not being her preference, its lyrics resonated deeply with her emotions.
Is it mere coincidence, or is it fate at play?
A tissue was handed to her, and Lysander was momentarily stunned. She looked up and saw the young man beside her smiling politely.
Wipe your tears.
Chapter 28.
Love letter from 8 years ago. She awkwardly smiled and took the paper napkin.
Thank you.
The lyrics are really good, right?
Yeah.
Old songs are classics. They always evoke emotions in people's hearts at different times, making people unconsciously shed tears. Lysander felt warmth in her heart. He was trying to make her feel less awkward for crying. He placed the blame for her emotional outburst on the infectious power of old songs.
Hello, my name is Adrian Sutton. My family and Daphne's family are old friends.
Hello, my name is Lysander Thorne.
I've heard of you.
You're the youngest obstetrician and gynecologist at the Central Hospital and very famous among the medical community in Harborbrook.
Lysander was slightly surprised.
Are you a doctor too?
Adrian replied, yes, but I studied medicine abroad and just flew back to Ekron this year.
Lysander nodded and smiled.
We are colleagues then.
You sing very well.
Then, he added, I'm not just being polite.
Your singing is really good and flows well with this song.
It made it very interesting.
Thank you.
Maybe I was just, in the right mood.
Suddenly, an arm was placed over her shoulder.
Lysander was startled.
When she came to her senses, she realized it was Daphne.
Daphne was originally sitting in the middle and enjoying the show.
Lysander did not know when Daphne walked over and started leaning into her.
Daphne noticed her gaze and grinned at her.
What are you talking about?
Adrian replied, song lyrics and work.
It seems like you're getting along pretty well.
Adrian, I remember you used to be quite reserved.
You're quite chatty today, though.
Lysander would be a fool not to understand what was going on.
She patted Daphne's arm and frowned as a signal.
Don't mess around.
You better not.
Daphne pouted.
What's there to be afraid of?
It's good to make more friends.
Right, Adrian.
The more Lysander heard, the more something seemed off.
Daphne was clearly up to something.
She turned to look at Daphne and shook her head again.
However, she heard Adrian say, I've known Dr. Thorne for a long time, but she may not know me.
Now, Lysander was also puzzled.
You've always been abroad.
How could you have known me?
Is it from Daphne?
When you were a freshman, the medical school had an exchange program with my university, so I came back home for a visit.
We met at the Shaw building.
Lysander tried to recall it.
It did seem like there was an exchange program with a foreign university hospital.
Her campus also had a Shaw building.
However, she could not remember Adrian at all.
Daphne's passion for gossip was ignited.
Wow, it has been 7 or 8 years since freshman year.
Adrian, it must have been unforgettable for you.
Lysander was getting anxious.
Harper.
Well, sort of.
Adrian pushed up his gold-rimmed glasses as he admitted to it.
Lysander felt quite embarrassed now.
I'm sorry.
I really can't remember.
Adrian chuckled.
Back then, your mind was full of studying.
It's normal for you to forget about me.
Daphne peeked out from under Lysander's clutches, sniffing like a puppy.
I smell the scent of gossip.
Actually, nothing big happened, Adrian said.
It's just that Lysander gave me a love letter at the time.
Lysander was shocked.
She remembered now. However, that love letter was.
Wow, that really happened?
Daphne was so excited that she clapped her hands.
Adrian, do you still have that love letter?
You haven't kept it this whole time, have you?
Chapter 29. A crush on a whole nother level.
Adrian shrugged. Unfortunately, my luggage was lost when I returned to Ekron. I couldn't bring it back with me in the end.
Daphne anxiously asked, do you still remember what was written in the love letter?
It has been so long.
He probably doesn't remember, Lysander said.
Besides, a love letter is just a few words of confession with maybe some poetry added in.
Adrian, what do you think?
The gossip here was obviously more attractive than the singing.
Daphne called 7 or 8 people over.
Everyone who had been eating, drinking, and singing was now all gathered around them.
Lysander felt like an animal in a zoo, surrounded by people watching her.
Adrian calmly said, I remember the love letter well.
The first sentence is.
He paused, then continued, your zipper is undone.
The whole room fell silent.
He then continued, it looks as big as the sun.
Crash.
Someone had kicked the fruit platter, causing it to fall off the table.
The glass platter shattered again the floor, sending damaged bites of food all over the place.
When Lysander came back to her senses, Daphne was giving her heavy pats on the shoulder as she essayed in a tone reminiscent of a satisfied mother, Lysander, you were amazing.
Adrian added, it had great literary style, and you rhymed.
Lysander felt like she was as red as boiled shrimp as the blush spread all the way down from her face to her neck.
No, you've got it wrong, Lysander hurriedly explained.
That wasn't written by me for you.
It was my roommate.
She had a crush on someone at the time.
My memory is a little hazy, but I didn't even know if it was you.
She just pointed in your direction, so I went and stuffed the love letter into your folder.
Still.
I remember there was no one around when I did it.
How did you know it was me?
Adrian's eyes suddenly flashed.
It must be fate.
His mysterious explanation once again brought an ambiguous atmosphere to the room.
Lysander had never faced such a situation before.
From childhood to adulthood, there were boys who showed interact in Han but the Machakwara alone th Sudlana Hal How Na.
What Vali Thana as she grew up, she focused all her attention on obstetrics and gynecology.
She mostly saw women every day, and when it came to men, they were either the husbands of pregnant women or newborn baby boys.
There were a few male anesthesiologists, but they were all married.
She really did not know how to handle a situation like this and could only look to Daphne for help.
Daphne was now so excited that she was bouncing around like a monkey.
There was no chance for Lysander to secretly whisper anything to her.
It was another young man who bluntly asked, Adrian, just say it.
Do you have feelings for Dr. Thorne?
Lysander's head was buzzing.
Everyone seemed to be holding their breaths, waiting for Adrian's answer.
No.
Lysander breathed a sigh of relief with her hand on her chest.
I've had feelings for her for a long time.
Crash.
Someone had gotten too excited again.
Over a dozen bottles of beer that had been on the table followed the fruit plate and shamed to pieces against the ground.
Immediately, the whole private room burst into loud laughter.
Someone said, I was surprised to see Adrian today.
He usually never agrees to hang out with us.
Why did he show up today?
I thought it was because of Daphne, but it turns out he came for Dr. Thorne.
Another person said, it has been 7 or 8 years since freshman year.
Adrian, who could have known?
Your crush is on a whole nother level.
Finally, Daphne waved her hand decisively and declared, I approve of this marriage.
However, Adrian was very gentlemanly.
He turned his head and whispered to Lysander, I'm sorry.
What?
I hadn't intended to mention it this early, but we were already discussing it.
I would like to apologize for any inconvenience I may have caused you.
Chapter 30.
I like someone who likes me.
Lysander did not know how to react. She lacked experience in this area and could only awkwardly chuckle in response.
It's okay.
Well, what about you?
What about me?
What kind of person do you like?
Lysander choked up.
Daphne answered for her, someone who is a bit gentle, a bit of a gentleman, with a good family background, a successful career, and good looking.
Josiah was the perfect match for every criterion Daphne listed.
Adrian smiled upon hearing that.
Except for the good-looking part, where opinions may vary, I should meet the other requirements, right?
Daphne tilted her head, looked at his face, and pursed her lips.
Not exactly, but you're quite handsome in a different way.
Adrian immediately caught on.
Dr. Thorne, do you have someone you like?
Suddenly, someone behind them poked their head out and whispered, she already had her heart broken.
Lysander looked at Daphne, who immediately raised her hands in surrender.
It wasn't me.
It really wasn't me.
After saying that, she immediately reached out and gave the speaker's head a heavy knock.
Why can't you keep your mouth shut when I've told you to?
Apologize.
The man covered his head and scurried away.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Adrian nodded in understanding.
Don't worry. Getting over a breakup takes time.
Take care of yourself first before you worry about other things.
Lysander really felt that Adrian was a person who was truly mature and in control of his emotions.
If he had really kept the secret crush going for 7 to 8 years without showing any signs on the surface, then, combined with the fact that he always spoke slowly and softly like a gentleman, he was truly a man with strong mental fortitude.
She could not help but think of Josiah.
He did seem gentle and gentlemanly most of the time, but when it came to the woman he loved, his inherent arrogance and domineering nature would come out.
It could not be restrained.
Was as if the person who trembled while looking at a wad of facial tissue at the hospital entrance yesterday was another person.
Dr. Thorne.
Lysander snapped out of her thoughts, realizing that it was Adrian calling her.
Yes, what is it?
You haven't answered me yet.
What kind of person do you like? He asked.
Those requirements were all mentioned by Daphne.
I want to hear your own opinion.
Lysander paused and said, I like someone who likes me.
Daphne couldn't help but comment, isn't that obvious?
If they don't like you, why would they be with you?
However, as soon as she said that, she regretted it.
Was Josiah not the perfect example?
He married Lysander even though he loved someone else deep down.
Daphne felt a little guilty as she realized she had misspoken.
She shrank backward.
Lysander said, I actually don't have any requirements.
Whether or not he is handsome, has a good family, or is a gentleman, it's all fine with me.
I only have one requirement, which is that the man must be with me because he truly likes me as a person, not because I resemble someone else or have ties with another person.
Adrian nodded.
Understood.
Although Adrian said that, Lysander did not know if he really understood what she said or if he was just being polite.
When the party ended, it was already very late.
Daphne still drove off in her red Porsche with Lysander sitting in the passenger seat.
What happened that day was rather intense and left her feeling somewhat overwhelmed.
Daphne advised her, saying, why reject him?
Give it a try.
Adrian is really nice.
We've been friends since we were children.
He truly has never dated anyone before.